Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. Hour 2. Show is live. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Thanks for joining us in Los Angeles. Warren Moon, the Hall of Famer in 5 minutes. Rob Parker, Rick Bucher all stop by today. The new me, all about physicality. I've been in one today.
You have been on one today, yes.
Is it on one or in one?
I think on one is the appropriate term for what's going on today.
Just on one today.
So yeah. when you saw that happen with Marcus Morris, that was your initial thought?
Of course you go after Luka. He's great. You go after him. You get in his face. You trash talk. That's why you and I didn't even talk about the trash talk story. Have you ever been around an NBA basketball game? Guys talk trash the whole damn game. It's like,
no, most people have not been around.
Okay, so yeah. It's like, I don't.
That was a legitimate concern we did talk about before the bubble started. How are they going to mask the trash talk that's going to go on the court?
It's great. I mean, that I wouldn't, if I'm Montrezl Harrell, you know, that's a little over the top. But again, I'm not a moralist. Your naivete is not my problem.
I think a lot of people fancy themselves moralists these days.
Oh, I'm not. I am not.
I am not either. No.
The new Colin is Contact Colin.
Contact.
Giving guys flat tires. This is the new me. You know, a lot of people get older, they get more conservative. Yeah. I get older, and
now
you're
ready to rage.
So I want to talk about age. So I thought, you know, Mission Impossible is an unbelievable series. Unbelievable. I've never met Tom Cruise, but it's unbelievable. Tom Cruise has aged well. He's almost 60. And I'm watching him last night. I'll go through his trailer. He's doing a Top Gun trailer. The guy looks unbelievable. Does he have hair dye? The hell do I care? I don't know. Veneers on his teeth? I don't know. And everybody's like, well, he's got a lot of money. A lot of people in Hollywood have money. They look like hell at 58. He takes care of himself. Workout. Eat right. Doesn't sit on Twitter yelling at people all day. Whatever it is, that guy has aged well. Not everybody in Hollywood with money ages well. Seen Russell Crowe lately? Guy needs some produce. Okay, the point being is, this is why I don't like I love Mission Impossible. This is why I don't like the Steelers this year. I get a lot of feedback. They're the only good team in the league I don't like. I'm a little cool on Green Bay, but I still think they win 9-10 games. I think the Steelers are under 500. They have not aged well. Certain people in sports have. Tom Brady, Pete Carroll's got incredible energy. Herm Edwards is almost 70 years old. Whatever it is, the diet, the work, I think everybody works out. The diet, the workout, the relationship. You still love your wife. Whatever it is, some guys age well. Pittsburgh hasn't aged well. Ben's an old 38. Mike Tomlin is great press conference coach, but too often he gets emotional, not into data enough for my taste. I think they're too permissive sometime for some of their stars. They just feel loose. They're not disciplined enough for me, and they haven't aged well. When is their last playoff win? Do you know what it was? 4 years ago, and they didn't score a touchdown in Kansas City. The last three playoff wins they've had, they've beaten Andy Dalton, Matt Moore, and Alex Smith. And they've lost to Tim Tebow and Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles at home. So it's just one of those things where I just don't buy. So I saw a Big Ben quote yesterday, and he's talking about his elbow, how it feels great. And Big Ben came out and said, I've had this pain for years. It's just been brutal. This is the first 13, 14 years I've had a tear the whole time. And you're just now addressing it? Do you think Tom Brady would wait 13 years if he had soreness? You're just now addressing it? Like, I don't even know why it is. I've always been sort of impressed by people that age well. It tells me they have good judgment. They make good decisions based on their relationships, their food, their workouts, whatever it is. They've got balance in their life. They're not angry all the time. But I just look at Pittsburgh, and I look at the NFL, and I look at Herm Edwards, and I look at Brady, and I just see some people that just age so well. Pittsburgh, They put on a few pounds. They're combing their hair over. They're not. My wife always says, Colin, just stay current. Be current. Don't be the old guy on the air that's not current and complaining about Instagram. Get on Instagram. Don't complain about it. And that's the new Colin, too. Contact Colin and Instagram Colin. The first quarterback as a kid. I'm making Warren Moon sound old. You should YouTube Warren Moon in college. It was the first quarterback I ever saw, college or pro. That was great. University of Washington, throwing the Spider Games at the Rose Bowl against Michigan, winning the Apple Cup. Warren Moon, a Hall of Famer, a Canadian League Hall of Famer, an NFL Hall of Famer, 17 years, 9 Pro Bowls. And by the way, he played for a long time, in fact, into his 40s. He is joining us now via the Coward Global Satellite Network. You know, it's funny. You know I grew up watching you. You know, you did.
I'm not that old, but yeah, you did watch me a little bit. I guess you did.
Yeah, in those rainstorms in Seattle. So you've done Seahawk broadcasts before. You're very close to the organization. Russell Wilson said yesterday, he said, listen, I want to play 15 more years. And it sounds crazy, but he doesn't take hits. He spends $1.5 million annually on his body. Warren, I didn't think it sounded crazy. I didn't. I was like, oh, I could see it. Could you?
Well, it's a very lofty goal, no question about it, but that's Russell. I think everybody has really underestimated him since he came into the league as a third-round draft pick. So for him to say something like that, you almost have to believe he really means it. I think a lot of people are looking at, you know, what Tom Brady is doing at 43 years old, and they're figuring they can all play into their 40s. I don't think everybody can for different reasons. Russell is a guy who relies on his legs and his feet a lot, especially to get outside of the pocket. Being 5'10.5", it's not like he can just turn his game into being totally a pocket passer like a Brady who's 6'4", or some of the other bigger quarterbacks in the league. He needs to have that scramble ability. And I think when you get closer to 40, you're going to lose a lot of that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's going to be able to play that long, but I could see him playing, you know, another 7, 8, 9 years very effectively. And then after that, it's just you take it a year by year.
So Big Ben said he's been playing with pain for 13 years. And my takeaway is maybe in your era, but in 2020, when guys make $90 million, I mean, I was shocked by that, Warren. I'm like, you got to take better care of yourself. I mean, did that story surprise you?
Well, you got to take Ben Roethlisberger with a grain of salt. I mean, he always kind of exaggerates a little bit of the things that he's going through as far as his pain threshold and that. But I'm sure he's had some discomfort, and he's a guy that hasn't really taken great care of his body over the earlier part of his career. But I'm hoping over the last year since he was out of the game, he took better care of his body, because they said he lost a lot of weight. He looks really good right now. And that's what you need to do at this stage of your career. I know as I got later into my career, I played at about 223, 224. Then as I got older, around 38 years old, I tried to drop down to about 217, 218, take a little bit more wear and tear off of my legs and my body to create that same quickness that you need. So hopefully Ben is doing the same thing, because he's a big man, and he doesn't need to carry all that extra weight at this age in his career. So hopefully he is in better shape, and he'll be much more effective this year because of that.
You know, you played. You're one of four quarterbacks to pass for 3,000 yards in a season at age 40 or older. I don't worry about Tom's arm. It's fine. I mean, Drew Bledsoe's a friend of mine. He's like, I could go out right now and throw spirals. I'm not arm stuff.
Right.
Aikman, you guys could all go throw a football. I'm not worried about that. Here's what's interesting, though. He's going to have to learn a new playbook. There are certain tendencies which all you guys develop, especially Tom. I mean, these short throws, throwing to running backs. Running back was his best ally last couple of years in New England. Do you worry about now Tom having to throw? This personnel looks like to me, Warren, it's a deep ball roster. These are big throws.
Yeah, there's no question this is a deep ball roster. Throwing the intermediate to deep balls down the field. And when I look at his running backs, Ronald Jones and some of the other guys in the backfield, I don't see them as being great receivers out of the backfield. And that's something he really relied a lot on in New England, is throwing the ball to his backs and to his slot receiver and to his tight end. Now, he does have great tight ends on this team, so I'm sure that's where he'll make a lot of his money throwing the football. But this offense is geared towards getting big strikes down the field. And that's where they got a lot of big strikes under Jameis Winston, but they also had a lot of interceptions because that ball is in the air a little bit longer when you're making those deep throws. So hopefully Tom will be able to adjust to that. Again, he needs those comfort zones of those running backs coming out of the backfield, and the timing is very, very important on those timing routes to those wide receivers out and those running backs out of the backfield. So hopefully he'll be able to get that over time. I don't think it'll happen right at the beginning of the season, but you'll see them improve as the season goes along, the more reps they get together.
So you went from Washington to Canada, where you were a dominant player, and then you went to the NFL. So you were already a pro athlete. You'd seen pro coverages. Now, the CFL is not the NFL, but you were dealing with pro coaches. This was not college anymore. And you also at Washington were a run team, but you had a fairly pro-style offense at Washington. So you were ready for the NFL by the time you got there. Joe Burrow really got a start for 2 years in college, no camp, bad roster, no OTA. He's going to struggle at some point this year, Warren. My question to you is, what will you, as a Hall of Fame quarterback, what will you look for in Burrow as he's struggling against the Ravens and the Steelers? What will you look at and go, oh, okay, I like that. Oh, there's growth there. He's fine even though he's losing. What should I look for?
I think you look for patience. I think just to see that if his feet are getting choppy or not, if his feet are staying very calm in the pocket, then you know he still has a good understanding. Otherwise, when you start to see those feet move a lot, you understand that he's getting a little bit nervous. He's not really sure of what he's doing, and maybe the pressure is getting to him a little bit. What I like about Joe Burrow is he's not the typical rookie. He's 23 years old, coming out of college. He was in a pro-style offense at LSU under Joe Brady. So I think he understands pass concepts a little bit better than most rookies coming into the league. He's a little bit more mature than most rookie quarterbacks coming into the league. So that's going to help him. And this Cincinnati roster is not a bad roster as far as his skill set of the guys that he has to throw the football to and run the football. So if Joe Mixon can do well for him in the backfield, take a little pressure off of him with the running game, he does have good wide receivers on the outside. I think he's going to be decent in his first year as long as he continues to improve every week and doesn't get too jittery in the pocket.
Finally, the Ravens players voted to kick Earl Thomas out of the locker room. Most teams have what they call a players council. And even in your day, if they didn't, you have four or five veteran players that coaches lean right on. And, you know, you were one of them. You ask players, what do you think? How disruptive could one guy be in a locker room? I mean, one guy, like a safety, like have you ever been in a locker room and thought one guy, I don't have to mention him, that you thought he's hurting the locker room?
I've been on teams where guys have been disruptive and have hurt the locker room. You call them like a locker room cancer. I think what we've heard about Earl Thomas, of course, he's been a great player for the course of his career. But when he came into Baltimore, and I have a lot of friends in that organization, he wasn't well received there. And there's been probably more things going on within that locker room than even have been reported. Just skirmishes all the time with different players, fist fights, arguments, being late to meetings, being late to airplanes, just a lot of disruptive things. So I think it just got to a point to where the players said, look, we don't need this on our team, even though he is a great player. We've got other players that we think can step in, but we don't need the disruption and also the controversy in our locker room. So I think that's why they voted to put him out. And that's a big statement when players get rid of a great player on a football team. That is a huge statement.
Yeah. Well, it also shows you the players know they can win regardless, because the talent right now in Baltimore, they are absolutely stacked.
They do have a really good roster, no question about it.
Yeah, and still have a good secondary. Warren Moon, Hall of Famer, Canada, NFL, 17 NFL seasons. Hope you had a good summer. Your summer been okay?
Summer's been good, you know, getting adjusted to this COVID thing and trying to spend a lot of time with family and get ready for this football season coming up. I'm really excited about it. Hopefully these players can be responsible and do what they need to do when they're away from the facility, because the NFL is going to do everything they can to keep them safe within it. It's just a matter of how they take care of themselves once they leave that building.
Good stuff. Good talking to you, Warren.
All right. Great talking to you as always, Colin. Take care.
By the way, big buzz out of the Bengals camp with Joe Burrow. We will talk. Contact Colin. We'll talk about that next. That's the headline today. Training camp buzz on Joe Burrow. We'll address that coming up. Rob Parker, too.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tomorrow on Thursday Night Baseball, Bryce Harper and the Phillies battle Juan Soto and the Nationals, or the A's battle the Rangers. The action begins at 6:30 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Check local listings for the game in your area.
Now, there was a no-hitter last night. Somebody for the White Sox no-hit the Pirates, which is takes a little – I mean, it's not like he no-hit the Dodgers or the Yankees or something. He no-hit the Pirates. But still, it's a no-hitter.
Yeah, still no-hitter.
I mean, nobody got a hit. That's why they call him no-hitter.
Yeah.
The whole night, no hits. So, by the way, training camp buzz – Joe Burrow, rookie for the Bengals, is here's his head coach.
Zach, he's got full grasp of our offense. You want your quarterback to be the hardest worker on the team, and an extension of the coaching staff, and he fits both those descriptions for us right now. And you know, he really breathes life into this offense. He's very confident. He's not arrogant, and so I think the team believes in this guy right now. But again, he's earned that in the way that he's gone about his work. The way he operates in the meetings, the way he communicates with his teammates on both sides of the ball. So, again, he's filling into that leadership role as well as any young player could do right now.
So, apparently, he's breathing life into the Bengals, which, you know, it's a pretty low ceiling. You followed Andy Dalton. I mean, you eat vanilla ice cream for 9 years. A scoop of mint chocolate chip feels like you hit the Powerball. You know, you vacation in Albuquerque for 9 years. A trip to the beach, you feel like a Kardashian. So, it's a pretty low ceiling here. I don't hate Joe Burrow. I think all this talk is nonsense, and people are making this kid a target, and he's Tony Romo as a prospect. He's not Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. So let's just be clear. He's going to finish in fourth place, and the Bengals are going to have a top 7 or 8 draft pick next year, and I don't hate him. But 9 of the last 10 quarterbacks taken number one in the NFL, 9 of 10 had a losing record. Andrew Luck didn't, and he had to end his career early. Because he got the hell beat out of him. This is going to be ugly for Joe Burrow. So let's look at their schedule. I'm just going to lay it out right now. I'm not going to do a lot of this conjecture and all you people that archive my stuff. I went and looked at the schedule this morning. So you're going to get crushed in your first 3 games against the Chargers defense, the Browns, and the Eagles. Those are just awful games for Joe Burrow with no preseason. You'll beat Jacksonville. It won't be easy, but you'll beat him at home. Then, again, brutal games at Baltimore, at Indy with that offensive line, Cleveland, Tennessee. Get a bye week. I know you're looking at that at Washington football team game. That's one of the best defensive fronts in the NFL. If Chase Young's half of what we think with Ron Rivera, that is going to be an ugly game for Cincinnati, which has the 31st-ranked offensive line, and Washington's defensive line is nasty. You got the New York Giants at home. I don't think that's necessarily a win because Joe Judge by that time, Daniel Jones, good little player. They got skill players now. And I think by, you know, week 8-9, Giants will have their act together. I'm going to give you 2 more wins at Houston because I think if Deshaun Watson got hurt, the offensive line's a mess. The team may kind of bail on Bill O'Brien. I think Bill O'Brien could be in trouble if they don't win, and I think the division's better. And then Baltimore is going to sit all their starters in Week 17, or most of them. They're going to sit Lamar Jackson because they're going to have the playoffs wrapped up. And so you're going to win 2 of your 3 games late in the year, Jaguars earlier. I may find another one. I think I predicted you win 4 games. Let me sleep on it. But Joe Burrow is breathing life. You know, people think I'm a hater on this. What I am actually is a friend of Joe Burrow because I'm saying stop the hype. He's going to throw for 3,000 yards. They're going to win 3 or 4 football games. He's going to have 21 touchdowns, 13 picks, going to be sacked 42 to 52 times. He's going to struggle. They're going to finish in fourth place. And you're all going to hammer on him, and I'm going to say, no, it's okay. That's okay. That's about what he is. I mean, see, you guys got him all, you know, the best college quarterback ever. I had a general manager during the draft say, I said this on Baker Mayfield. I said, Baker Mayfield's comp, he's a better Case Keenum. By the way, Baker's been in the NFL now 2 years. His record is Case Keenum. It's like a winning percentage. He's better than Case because he has a bigger arm. Joe Burrow's comp is Tony Romo. Tony Romo's a good player. You guys have his comp as Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Stop it. It's ridiculous. It's a bad roster. It's a bad old line. They got some, you know, and Cincinnati fans are like, oh, you're picking on us. That's what Cleveland said a year ago. I'm not picking on you. I'm judging you based on your resume and your roster, which historically has been not very good in that division. It's a lot of chaos in Cincinnati. I think it's a rough sled for him. I think he's a franchise quarterback. He's going to be a nice player. He's a much better prospect than Baker Mayfield. You know, I can make the argument he's a better prospect than Sam Darnold, who I like. He's not Andrew Luck. He's not Peyton Manning. He's not Cam Newton as a prospect. Come on, slow down on this stuff. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News, sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
Well, some slightly good news for the Rockets. They may get Russell Westbrook back for Game 5.
Oh.
They originally ruled him out because he's dealing with a right quad strain, but he's been upgraded to questionable.
Did that just happen? Yes.
Yeah, within the last couple hours.
Okay.
He's expected to test out his quad today, and it's going to be a game-time decision on him returning. The Blazers, however, will not be as lucky with their injured star. Damian Lillard has been ruled out for Game 5. Against the Lakers with a right knee sprain.
Westbrook cracks me up. He's just one of these guys. He has so much energy. Even as a fan watching the game, he's trash talking. Here's the thing you can never say about Russell Westbrook. He doesn't care.
No, of course not.
Russell Westbrook, sometimes to a fault.
He loves basketball.
Loves it. He's great at it. I've had my problems with him. But there are a lot of guys, like I've been critical of John Wall. I'm not always sure he loves basketball. Westbrook loves basketball. He loves to talk it. He loves to play it. He loves to...
Look at this.
Oh, no.
He's
been
amazing.
He's been unbelievable.
It's so AAU.
I mean, that, to me, is that... That's what you want. I always say this. It's always a bummer when you feel like, as a fan, you care more about your team than your team does.
Yeah.
Nobody cares more about the Rockets than Russell Westbrook. Like, that is fantastic. He is crazy town.
I think they can get it done without him. So I'd like to have him be 100% healthy for the next series. But obviously, you got to get to the next series, and the Thunder have not been a joke. But
They miss his energy. Yeah.
Yes.
He doesn't always help efficiency, but his energy. I mean, let's be honest. Harden doesn't have as many touches. You can sit sometimes and just let Russell do his thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So Paul George finally got things going last night. We predicted that he would. 35 points in Game 5 against the Mavs. After the game, he said that his play early in the series was impacted by mental health struggles as he was dealing with it in the bubble.
The bubble got the best of me. I was just in a dark place. I really wasn't here. I checked out. So these past couple games, it was just difficult. Shout out to people that stood behind me, that was in my corner, the positivity, my teammates, my family, friends. I was just in a bad place, and I found my way. I'm back, and I look forward to the rest of this run.
You know, I think it's really important that he said that. He said that he talked to a mental health professional, which the NBA has made it a point to have those in the bubble.
Yeah.
This is something that I was concerned about when the bubble first started. Like, we are, you know, we're enjoying watching basketball, and I'm very happy that the bubble looks as sounds as great as it has, and it's overall been an astounding success. But these are human beings who are away from their families, who are away from their homes, who are away from their normal routine, and who are dealing with the pressure of having to perform in these very extreme circumstances. So whether or not you feel like it's exaggerated because they're millionaires, how much money you make doesn't make you any less of a human.
Well, this is one of the things I said during COVID. You can lock people in their houses, but in America, 47,000 people a year commit suicide. They suspect it'll double. Like, mental health is a massive problem in America, a massive problem. And because it's not contagious, because you don't see it,
right,
like a car wreck or COVID, we don't talk about it. And social media has, of course, exacerbated these problems because young people, Paul George is a kid. These young people are sit on the Instagram and people say horrible things about them. And again, I'm at the point in my life where it's just almost comical.
Yeah.
But when you're 20, I've got a daughter, I've got kids. Paul George is a young guy. What is he, 28 years old, 29?
Like, and he, you know, he disabled his comments on his Instagram.
Yeah, like,
you know, and I'm with you. Like, I find it comical because these people are not going to say this to your face.
Well, you and I have been public figures for a long time.
I've just become numb to it, whether that's good or bad. Like, it's not going to affect my day. I'll argue with people, but you're not changing my mood.
Right.
But
for a lot of people, it does.
It does. And maybe it's not even just that. Like, you're isolated. And even if it is basketball and you love basketball, so what Giannis and LeBron were talking about last week, you can love basketball, but sometimes having no distractions is also a distraction. Like, this is a whole, going to go through waves of emotions in this thing.
As a society, we tend to cure or solve or care about stuff we can see.
Yes.
And when you can't see it, we downplay mental health. And it is something I've talked about for 3 or 4 years in the show. It is that we have a mental health pandemic in this country, and social media does it no favors. Yeah. It just doubles, triples, quadruples it.
And I don't look at this as an excuse whatsoever. Like, there can be a reason why
he's dealing with
a
real thing.
And he was very honest and transparent about it.
Yeah, years ago, it was funny. Years ago, I had somebody in my family who was struggling with it, and it was a former in-law, and the in-law was a man. He said, "I'm not as weak," and I said, "Well, you take heart medication. I don't think you're weak because of that. What if you need more serotonin in your brain?" There's a lot of people out there that think, "Well, I'm not taking a pill. That I am not weak." We take heart medication. We take all sorts of medications. It's not a weakness.
Yeah, it's just, you go to physical therapy. Why wouldn't you go to therapy for mental your mental and emotion? It's all part of your body.
Call hotlines if you need help.
Yes. So finally, even though Tom Brady is new to the Bucs, he's been able to share his years of experience with his teammates, and Bruce Arians thinks that Brady's presence on the field is like having another coach on the staff. He said he has a great rapport with young players, building their confidence. He's like having a second coach on the field. It's one thing for coaches to tell them, but when Tom says it, they probably listen to him more than the coach. He's probably right about that. You know, you can hear things from a bunch of different people, but when you hear it from someone that you kind of want to hear it from,
sure,
you might listen to it a little bit more. Like, your parents can tell you something 50 times and your best friend tells you the exact same thing. And you're like, okay, I know my parents have been telling me, but since you said it, I'm going to do it now. Yeah. Tom can clearly have that effect. I mean, everything that you're hearing from the Bucks camp is he's the GOAT and it's so great to have him here.
This is why I tell my wife to go to therapy. You need to hear the therapist tell you how wonderful I am.
Oh,
okay. Because when I say it, it just deaf ears.
I mean, sometimes therapists do tell you stuff that you have been avoiding, and it's, you know, reinforces that. But yeah, I think this is absolutely right from Arians. When you have a guy that has experience that Tom Brady has, and you're trying to get young players to take it to the next level, hearing the same thing from your coaches over and over again might not register. As soon as Tom says it, he's unquestioned. Like, he has the success that you can't question. So if he's telling you to do it, I mean, how are you going to tell
him? If you're a basketball player and Kawhi came up and he's not overly verbal and he's like, "Hey, dude, you got to take a step, take the angle." As a young player, you'd be like, "Oh my God." Like, there's so much in your peer group.
Yeah.
It has so much more impact than coaches do.
Well, because they know how to physically, and not the coaches haven't played or whatever, but when you're in a position of power where they're telling you and you think you know everything, like, having somebody who is your peer who's, you know, Tom Brady was in the league before some of these kids were born. So it's, you know, it's a massive impact to have Tom tell you something.
Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So who plays today?
So today we have Magic Bucks.
Okay, Milwaukee.
Right, Thunder Rockets, and then Blazers Lakers tonight.
Yeah, that's actually, I'm not going to watch that. Because Dame's not playing.
Yeah, Dame's not playing. So the Lakers close it out tonight.
I'll watch 10 minutes of that.
Magic Bucks will probably close it out
today
as well. So.
And I'll take the Rockets to start putting away.
The series is tied. Westbrook's questionable for tonight. So he was upgraded from out to questionable. So he may play tonight.
So I got 8 to 10 minutes of Westbrook. I just want his energy. By the way, Westbrook's playing decent defense in the bubble. You know?
Well, I think they probably want to get him out there again, you know.
Absolutely. So. Okay, Rob
Colin,
Parker.
Hold on. What? I got to end. You have Joe Burrow and the Bengals beating the Ravens in week 17.
Yes.
You also have the Ravens going undefeated.
Oh, crap.
Which means that you either have Joe Burrow beating the undefeated Ravens and preventing a perfect season, or you have to change your Ravens prediction.
All right. Do we put the schedule out one more time? That's a good point, Goulet.
I mean, your reason was that they were resting, so maybe at 15-0 they give up and go,
I still got to change my schedule.
You can amend for 2 weeks and one day. So,
hold on. Let me look at it again. Jaguars is a win. I'll give them a win over the Giants and the Texans. And I can't. You know what? I gotta sleep on that.
Because if you're wrong about the Ravens and they're 14-1, then you might be right.
Here's the thing I did that was stupid. The problem with 16-0 is you trap yourself. Everything. It's like, what happens? Earl gets hurt. What if Lamar twists an ankle and they're like, we're just going to rest him. We're 9-0. I should have done 15-1. There was no value in 16-0. It's like,
I thought you were coming in strong, going after ankles.
Yeah, so did I. And then I did it, and I'm like, you just leave yourself no wiggle room.
Do you?
15-1 Ravens. That's one of my changes.
Okay.
I know I got a lot of press for that because, you know, everybody was like, coward's nuts. I'm like, no, I think they're going to roll people. I think they're going to be great.
Yeah, you're right. 15-1 gives you just enough space.
15-1 gives me Lamar takes a week off. They can rest starters. It gives me a little. 16-0 is nothing. I mean, it's just at some point.
To be clear, I wasn't going to judge you if they didn't go 16-0.
Oh, okay. But they're going to be great. We acknowledge. Yeah, everybody knows.
They're going to be great. But 16-0, how many times has that happened in the league?
Yeah, it just doesn't.
Right.
Once.
Twice.
Yeah, regular season twice. Yeah. All right, Rob Parker's around the corner.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Rob Parker, host of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard, fastest growing sports radio show in the country. It's very, very good, Fox Sports Radio. He is joining us. Rob Parker's got another $150 suit, which is it's very nice. It's gray. Okay, how much your suit cost?
Okay, Burberry. $15.95, originally $179. Beautiful, fits like a glove. Again, if you're going to get a deal and a discount, it has to fit. You can't force your way into a jacket too small or buy it and it's too big and it's hanging off of you.
Good point. All right, Clippers dirty. Nick Wright tells me Clippers are dirty. Marcus Morris is dirty. You saw Stephon Luka's foot. What do you make of it?
It can't be dirty. If you're going to be dirty, you would do it in the first quarter. Not up by 30, right? I mean, come on, Colin. If you're trying to get somebody out of the game, you would do it early. I'm not buying into that. I'm going to take Marcus Morris at his word that wasn't the intent. There was no reason at that point. What was the reason? To win by 60? Come on, you can't buy into that.
Okay, so it's inconsequential to you. Let me ask you about this. People are talking about Luka. I looked at Kawhi's numbers this morning, and I was like, oh, my God, he's better than Luka, and he actually plays world-class defense. What do you make of Kawhi?
Kawhi Leonard, when the dust clears from the bubble in Orlando, will be the new king of the NBA, and there will be little doubt. When he wins this championship, it'll be three championships with three different franchises. And I'm talking about leading the franchise. That'll be the first time that's ever happened. Colin, think about this. He will have won back-to-back championships with two franchises that had never won jack. So think about that. He went to Toronto. They couldn't get over the hump. They win a championship. He goes to the Clippers and wins another championship. This guy will be everything the NBA is talking about. I mean, I know he's not your typical NBA diva, doesn't need a lot of attention, just goes out and plays and does his thing. But he is the best in the, and I know Kevin Durant's another great player, and we saw what he did with the Warriors. But to be able to accomplish this, and think about it, Colin, he's the one who spurned LeBron James. LeBron wanted him to join AD and play with the Lakers. He chose, instead of going to the King, he chose the court jesters. He went and decided to go with the Clippers, and look at where they are. I mean, I know everybody was panicking, thinking that they weren't that good and they were struggling with Dallas. They are just where they need to be. They will be there. When they have their full team, they're hard to beat.
Yeah, I also think, I said this earlier, Rob, you and I agree. If Kawhi wins, he has seven or eight things he's done now if he wins that nobody else has done, and he may not be verbal and he doesn't have the big profile. But you get to a point, and people say, well, he's never won an MVP. Well, Karl Malone has got a lot of numbers and stats. Karl Malone didn't win, and we hold our stars and our legends to winning. I think he's a top 10 player of all time if he wins. I mean, Michael Jordan tried a second team, failed.
No, it's hard to argue with that. I would agree with that from this standpoint. I always say, Colin, Sports has a short menu. It's wins and losses. And that's why we remember the people who win. And whenever you move around, I think you get extra credit because it tells you you just weren't in one situation. Had he only won in San Antonio and that was it, you would say, well, he was a part of a system and Pop and all this. But to go to Toronto where they weren't able to do anything, remember, they kept getting knocked out, yep, winning 60 games and getting knocked out. Then they win the championship. The Clippers haven't won anything since Moby Dick was a guppy. And if he was able to finally get there and win a championship, really, and in the same building where he plays with LeBron and Anthony Davis, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
How in the world could you not look at him and think that he's that guy?
All right, football. Cowboys' interest in Earl Thomas. Jerry did not put a wet blanket on it. Jerry elevated it. Jerry said it's my call. Mike McCarthy didn't seem to be interested. What do you make of the story?
Typical Cowboys. That's why they haven't won in about 25 years. They just keep doing the same old, picking up other people's trash. From this standpoint, I look at it this way. The Ravens have a chance to win the Super Bowl. They're not getting rid of a player who could help them win a Super Bowl. This is a team that won 12 games in a row last year, have a unanimous MVP quarterback, have everything to play for. Earl Thomas must be a problem if they wanted to exit him, you know, from the building. Think about that. You don't get rid of talent, you know, unless you absolutely have to. So there's an issue there, and the Cowboys always, they're always running out, grabbing other people, thinking that they're going to get lucky, and it hasn't worked out for them.
You know, it's interesting. Big Ben, I said a lot of people age well. Tom Cruise ages well. Herm Edwards, Tom Brady, Pete Carroll. Big Ben and the Steelers haven't aged well. The last playoff win was against Kansas City. They couldn't score a touchdown. I don't like him this year. I don't like him this year. Big Ben said yesterday, my elbow's been bad for 14 years. It finally feels good. And I'm like, what have you been doing for 14 years? Didn't go see a doctor? What do you make of this? I don't think the Steelers age well. I just don't like him at all in this division, AFC North. Your thoughts?
I didn't pick them to make the playoffs last year, even going in before the injury or whatever injuries happened. And I'm with you. I think Big Ben, right now, I think the clock in London plays much better than Big Ben. And I mean, from the standpoint that thing is still up and sturdy. We're looking at an old Ben, old man Ben, old man River. And I'm with you. Pittsburgh is on the way down. They've been going down for a while. They've extracted some big pieces from that team offensively. I don't buy into the Steelers.
By the way, Russell Wilson, play until he's 45. Buy it?
I got a message for Russell Wilson. No way, no how does he play till 40. The only reason Tom Brady's gotten that opportunity is because they kept winning Super Bowls. Even if Tom was lucky, it was because of that. Look, think about it. Russell Wilson hasn't won a Super Bowl in 7 years. He won one, so I'm not knocking him. 7 years. So if he goes another 7 years without winning, Colin, that would be 14 years. He would be 38 years old. And you really think that the Seahawks would go, oh, yeah, we're going to hold on to this guy. We have another shot. The only way you get to stick around for a long time is when you win. And they haven't done that in Seattle in some time now. So I don't buy that. It sounds good. You can be good, healthy, look right, look like you're in shape. It's about winning. Winning buys you time. Winning allows you to stick around longer than you should have.
Yeah. All right, nice jacket, by the way. That was $170. It was $1,500. Burberry. Where did you get it at, by the way? Let's give a pop to where'd you get it?
This was, I got this at Saks off Fifth Avenue.
That means it's a discount Saks?
Exactly. This is where, like, if stuff doesn't sell or is left over, they'll take it to there. But it's the same quality. There's nothing wrong with it. And if you're lucky, it's all about sizes. They only have, like, one or two pieces. So you got to be lucky.
And the best-dressed guest we've ever had on this show, Rob Parker.
Oh, you're being so kind. Thank you, Colin.
Co-host of The Odd Couple, also in the Herd Podcast Network. He's a Hall of Fame baseball guy. Check it out. Rob Parker, good seeing you guys. By the way, right tools for the job. Our go-to for men's grooming is Manscaped. They have the skin-safe technology in their new Lawnmower 3.0. 20% off plus free shipping. Go to manscaped.com. Put in the code H-E-R-D. All right, hour three. Rick Bucher stops by. Man, I'm worked up today. Got up at 1:30, had to fire off about 30 texts and emails. Sat there, leaned up against the pillow, and just got feisty. Contact Colin. All right, hour number three in Los Angeles. The Herd.